The Iron Game Chalk Talk Podcast is brought to you by the following sponsors: EliteForm.com, IgnitionAPG.com, PlayUSA at PLAEUSA.com, and Sorinex Exercise Equipment at Sorinex.com. And now, the Iron Game Chalk Talk Podcast. Welcome to Iron Game Chalk Talk with your host, Ron McKeefer.
Every time our athletes walk into this weight room, they're going to be pushed to the max.
Let's go! Let's go! Everything you got!
On this podcast, hear Coach McKeefer's straight talk about training, featuring the top strength and conditioning professionals from around the world. And now, here's your host, Ron McKeefer.
Hey guys, welcome back to Iron Game Chalk Talk. I'm your host, Ron McKeefer, and this episode number 143. Super excited to have Matt Nine with us today. Matt is in his 12th year as the coordinator of sports performance at Salisbury University. Wanted to have him on the show. I heard him speak at the NSEA Coaches Conference on the challenges of small colleges, and wanted to have him on to talk a little bit about that. I really truly believe that small college strength coaches are some of the best people to learn from, just because you have to do so much with so little. You're coordinating lots of different sports. You're usually doing it in a understaffed, undersized weight room, and so you have to create solutions. And you know, I had that experience going through South Florida early on, and felt like it made me a much, much better strength coach. But we bring him on. We talk about that. Talk about some of the mistakes he's made. What I really like is we get into kind of a rubric that he uses to quantify character and the perceived reality of the team. And, you know, I, for nothing else, this episode right here is worth it for that. But there's tons of great nuggets in here. He does a fantastic job and has done it on a high level. Was nominated for the College Strength Coach of the Year. And so great, great company to be in with that. And I think it's a great episode that you're going to walk away with some tools. And we've since even, you know, coordinated or interacted through email for me following up, because I wanted to use this rubric with our team. And so I know you're going to get a ton out of it. Before we do, I want to make sure to recognize our sponsor for this episode, Elite Form. You know, again, they're a sports training company based in Lincoln, Nebraska, and super excited for these guys, man. They were just highlighted on CNN just recently, and you know, first of all, Skip and the rest of the group, phenomenal people, and have consistently given back to our community. You see them at the shows. They're industry leading when it comes to their technology. Still, at another level when it comes to measuring velocity and power and how they're doing it with three-dimensional cameras and things along those lines. And really, honestly, we haven't caught up to their technology as to what potentially can be done. And so super excited for them and being highlighted there. And if you're in the market for some velocity-based training equipment, being able to measure peak power and peak output and things along those lines, definitely reach out to Skip in Elite Form. Again, we were one of the first schools when I was at Tennessee to put it in. And instantly saw it, thought it was a game changer, and they've continued to push the bar with their technology, with their products, and just with how much they give back. So please reach out to them, let them know how much you appreciate them being a part of the show, and join me in congratulating them for being highlighted on a national stage outside of our industry, which I think is always fantastic. Lastly, Ask Coach Mac has been going great. Lots of questions coming in. If you're interested in being a part of this, you know, it's a weekly podcast where I answer questions, strength conditioning questions, and, you know, they're coming in from around the world. The best way to do this would be to go to Ask Coach Mac, AskCoachMac.com, and scroll to the bottom, and you'll find a widget here at the bottom that says send a voice message to Ron McKeefer, and you'll just click to start recording. You'll record your question right there from the webpage, and it'll be submitted to me, and then I'll, you know, my team and I will choose questions that are kind of based around common themes, common questions that we're getting, and try to answer it so that it you know, something that the entire community can benefit from. But please send those in. Really enjoy it. It's been a fun project so far, and make sure you subscribe to it over on iTunes. It's a 10-minute podcast that you can catch, you know, on your way in or out from work. And like I said, I think it's been well received thus far, and really excited about where it's headed. So check that out. Want to get to this week's episode with Matt. Know you're going to enjoy it, and we'll see you on the other side. All right, guys, welcome back to Iron Game Chalk Talk. Excited to have Matt Nine with us. Matt is the head strength coach at Salisbury, and got a chance to hear him present at the San Antonio NSCA conference. And they did it, both him who was with you?
Mike Caro.
Yeah, Mike Caro. I'm sorry, Mike. Mike does a fantastic job at Transylvania as well. And they spoke on small college challenges and different things. And I'll tell you, you know, I've been at small college, I've been at big college, I've been, pro. I find that you learn more by attending those types of presentations and going and talking to coaches that have to be resourceful. They have to find ways around things. They have to think outside the box. And I always feel like I walk away, just like I did in your guys' presentation, a better strength coach. So I appreciate you doing that, man. I appreciate you coming on the show.
Yeah, man, I'm excited. Thanks for having me.
Hey, Matt, I want you to kind of go back, kind of tell us how you got into strength and conditioning, and then kind of what's led you to, what now, 12 years at Salisbury, right?
12 years.
Holy cow.
I know, right? So I guess I started as a physical education major, thought I wanted to be a PE teacher, and 12 years ago, I played baseball at Towson University. First couple years, we didn't even have a strength coach there, so all I ever knew was the PE teacher and so forth, and from high school and so forth. And then starting into college, we started, our first head strength coach came in, and, I was still a baseball guy, really passionate about that, and thought I wanted to teach, or, really I wanted to play baseball and professionally. And as my career went, realized that that wasn't going to happen. Really started to fall in love with, I was always into the lifting aspects, the training. I wasn't a good player. I was only there because I worked hard. I've had to maximize everything from strength, power, you name it, to be able to be halfway decent to step on the field. So that kind of was the first initial steps in that aspect of really saying, hey, this could be a career for me. Went on to get my master's degree in applied health physiology. And at that point, I was able to work with the men's lacrosse team here at Salisbury University. And they're currently a 10-time national champion, some of the best athletes at Division III level. Really solidified it. Got the opportunity to work with Tim Bishop. At the time, he was the head strength coach for the Baltimore Orioles. And learned an absolute tremendous amount with him running camps, so forth. And that really, that was the turning point in my career, is saying, hey, this is what I want to do. This is, really have this impact and influence on athletes, really see them, their growth and their development and who they become as an athlete. I went on then to work, graduation from my master's degree, I got a job with the Toronto Blue Jays, worked in their system for a year under Chris Joyner, who is now their major league coordinator. And again, just gained an absolute wealth of knowledge from that guy. I mean, very, very bright individual. And, Salisbury University job opened up, at the end of the season, you don't really have a job at that point. And it was really before the start of, any full-time, you're just seasonal. And the Salisbury University job opened up. And, from that point on, it was kind of, the history, it was a great spot for my family, and so forth. So, the Division III mindset, I really, really like it. You have athletes who, everything's voluntary. Our whole entire offseason, according, with the NCAA ruling, is everybody is voluntary. So they really want to be there.
Right.
And I think that's some of the awesome challenges that we have, is to get those who don't want to be there. Because when it's all said and done, it's a whole entire team concept, and those guys who are holding us back, or who don't want to be there, or aren't committed, aren't really bought in, they end up being part of the struggle of the team in terms of the growth of where they go. So I think those are the fun challenges that I really like about it and really enjoyed, is how can I attack that, really that bottom 75% of people that, that top 25, they love to be there. They'll, you know, they'll try to break the door down if it's closed to get in there. It's what about those other 75? You know, love working with the top 25. Those, right. They're a blast. 75, they're a challenge, and it's a fun challenge for me. And I think that's what I really love about, you know, this Division III aspect. And, you know, being able to work in, you know, we have 21 teams, so there's other challenges, but you know, it's a lot of fun working with that athlete who is, you know, who's passionate about getting better as an athlete. And, you know, they're non-scholarship, you know, things like that. They love the sport and the wholeheartedness of what that sport is. So,
right. You know, I think, you know, there's a verse in the Bible, I can't remember it verbatim, but it talks about, you know, you don't cast a light into the light, you cast a light into the darkness, you know. And so, you know, you talk about that bottom 75%, you know, and that's really why you're there. I mean, anybody can train the people that want to train, you know. Mm-hmm. It's that 75%. What have you done? What's some tactics that you've used, you know, to motivate those athletes to stick around and to believe in you and to maybe take that athlete from not caring about the weight room or not really associating it with its success to all of a sudden it's like, you know, I'll jump in front of a freaking train for mm-hmm. sports performance staff.
Yeah, I think, you know, the biggest thing has been, and I really wish I would have looked at it earlier on in my career a little bit more, was really developing, you know, the relationships. You know, it's always there. And, you know, when I first started, we only had three teams training with the program. So we had baseball, softball, and volleyball. And the only reason we had volleyball because the softball coach was the volleyball coach. And so there was a lot more involvement with establishing a program and getting, you know, coaches to buy in, so forth, things like that. Line. So I think earlier on, like I there wasn't a large focus on the relationship aspect, and that became, I think, the number one thing. As I started getting into it at this level, the extrinsic motivators, they didn't work. You know, anything that we had to be extrinsic for them, it didn't work. You know, everything that did, it was only short term. And what we were seeing was we'd see, you know, early on we'd see a large majority of the team coming, and then as it went, we'd start to see drop in numbers. You're saying, well, why? What's going on? And a lot of it had to do with that aspect. So being able to reflect back on what issues were going wrong and figuring out now how do we change it. And really at that point, once we really started determining that, relationships became the number one thing. I have the luxury, I guess, if it's a luxury, being on two sides of campus. So our main athletic weight room is on one side, and then our athletic center is on the opposite side of campus, where I also do some work in that facility. So I'm on campus a lot more, and that really was the number one thing that really helped me foster better relationships with the athletes is being around them a lot more. Walking through campus, you know, being able to – getting out to practices, things like that, and – I think to me that's my number one thing, you know, is developing that relationship aspect. From there, it's, you know, the knowledge that you're able to talk about, you know, being open, being caring. You know, they need to see that. You know, it's that the old adage about, you know, showing how much you care before they're gonna, you know, really get into the effort and so forth. They need to see you out there. You know, right. I mean, it's 21 teams. It's not just the five that I am in charge of. I want to be there. If I'm not right now, I don't work with women's lacrosse. I need to be at a women's lacrosse game because it's a program aspect. I want them to know who I am, even though I don't necessarily work with their team. You know, so to me that's kind of the biggest aspect is really that intrinsic drive, showing the knowledge that you have, a deep care for the athlete. That, you know, their interest is in mind, the, you know, and part of that has to do with our staffing as well as getting them to show to produce that as well, that this program is a program that you need to be part of, to help grow. And, you know, our programs have been pretty successful here at Salisbury. So, you know, I think that kind of then starts to lead into a culture, you know, diving into core values of what the coaching staff has, enforcing those concepts back into the weight room. If they're not truly fully developed, really develop them. You know, things that we're doing now, and we're getting into habit creation. You know, like we have summers. You know, our athletes are gone, so they're not around us. So we're diving into concepts, looking at, you know, Charles Duhigg's Power Habit, diving into that book here, and how can we create, you know, habits now that, you know, looking at cueing and things like that. And they're jazzed up. You know, we're other, you know, before break, we had field hockey in. We were watching a couple of TED Talks on mindset and attitude, things like that, and, you know, to kind of start our lifts off. And, you know, we're at a period of rest. So, you know, they just got done their season. They're jazzed up to be in the weight room. Say, hey, let's come in. We'll watch a TED Talk. We'll get you all amped up and fired up in the room there. And so, you know, it was an awesome dynamic. So pulling in some different things to really get them that aren't weight room X's and O's and, you know, things along that line, pulling some of these other concepts in and diving into who they are as a person. You know, we've looked at determining their why. You know, why do they even play? It's funny. Some don't even know, you know, when you ask the question. And, you know, you'd think you'd get an answer, you know, right away. And, you know, they're sitting there, they're you know, looking up like, I don't really know. And it's kind of mind-blowing to me, but, you know, it's like, all right, let's go home and think about it. Come back, give me your why. And you know what? Once you have that answer, ask it 3 to 4 more times, and then you'll find out your true why to why you play the game. And I think that, you know, starting to come back and impact our programming a little bit. And, you know, because, again, like, you know, if you're a social why, is you're really there for social reasons.
Right.
And it allows you, it's something that you've always done. You like being competitive, but you're really true why is you love that social camaraderie. Well, how do we create that? Because that's that intrinsic drive that you have.
Right.
I need to figure that out. I need to know who you are as an athlete. So we're trying it. We're in it right now, and we're kind of seeing how that process is going to go here with them. And but I mean, to have that where the season ends and the first thing that they want to do is really start back and get in the weight room. Let's say, let's get stronger. Let's get powerful. We weren't happy with where we are. You know, where the season ended, and you know, great. And you know, I'm ecstatic about that. And,
absolutely.
You know, we're trying some other. I mean, just a lot of new things, you know, coming in play here. And you know, we're looking at commitment level. You know, assessing commitment level and different. You know, different concept. Looking at perceptions versus reality. You know, what they perceive or what they perceive everybody else. Going on a commitment scale to then actually determining what their individual reality is,
right,
in their commitment level, and they weren't even close. Percentage-wise, their perception was about 85%. They thought everybody was about 85% committed in our scale. When it came back to it, the team average was about 72%. Mm. Saying, wow.
Go into that a little bit. Where did you, okay, what scale and what kind of...
So what we did was an article that we found on basically it was a powerlifting article that related to not meeting your gains, you know, not getting to the level that you think you should be able to be at. You know, you weren't hitting PRs anymore and so forth. So what they ended up talking about is giving a 5-level scale, basically the components that are necessary to be good at or for you to reach your outcomes, right? So what we did for the field hockey group that I'm working with right now, we looked at 5 components that were related: conditioning, okay, so speed, agility, conditioning aspect, nutrition, recovery, aspects in the weight room, getting stronger, powerful, whatever their outcome needs, and then the stick, actually playing the game. You know, so what we did in taking their off season and say, okay, you got a scale here of 1 to 10. 10 being the ultimate, 1 being at the lowest end. And then so, you know, what we would do for each of those categories is show you what a 10 looks like, show you what a 5, show you what a 1 looks like. Right. And now grade yourself, you know. I'm not going to report back to our coaching staff because it's an NCAA violation, right? You go out there, you grade yourself, figure out where you are. You add them up, divide by 2, move your decimal place 2 places, and that's your percentage of commitment, right? So we use that. That's the individual, and then we take everybody, add them up. You know, you get your team average for that of commitment. So that was the reality aspects, because it's your individual one. We also wanted to see how you would perceive the other 20 teammates on your team and how you thought they were working.
Sure.
Because too often we see perception is not reality. So what we ended up doing was we took just a commitment scale where you're compelled, committed, existing, distraction or disturbance. Again, what does each of those categories look like? And place the athlete into it. Place yourself and the other athletes on your team into that category, whatever you think they belong. right? And then out of that, you know, ideally we're looking for the committed and compelled, the two top existing groups. If you're just you're an existing type of person, we don't know if you're there or not. You know, you didn't really benefit. You didn't help anybody else. You know, nobody got better because of you.
Right.
If you're a distraction, you're a disturbance, you're probably making people worse, right? So we want to see it. And what ended up happening was in that scale, when we take, you know, you average out how many people are in the top two categories compared to the total group, it was in the low to mid 80s. And that was our perception, saying that we think that you're working hard when I see you for the 1 hour in the weight room or the 1 hour conditioning session. But I don't see you pick up your stick. I don't see you work on recovery. I don't see the direct aspects of nutrition, which are all major components to your growth as an athlete. Only you know that. And so now it's right there in their face. It's a tangible number that can say, yeah, our outcomes aren't going to be. I mean, we gave a C-minus effort.
How did you give that information to the players? Was that an individual thing?
We gave it as a team.
Okay.
You know, I think that was part of the whole presentation aspect was, I think you need to know where the rest of your teammates feel about you. You know, if you feel that you're a distraction or a disturbance, and you know, we prefaced it in saying that you can take it one of two ways. You could be mad, upset, angry, pissed off, hate the world. Right, hate your teammates, but where's that going to get you? You know, and maybe this isn't for you. You know, if this whole college athletic thing, and maybe you thought it was something else, but maybe it's not. But you could take it that way, or you could take it another way and say, you know what, I'm willing to change. I've got to change if I want to be great. If I want to be good. If I want to leave a legacy back on this program. I have to change,
right?
And be willing to accept that and do that. So again, you know, we put the challenge right there in front of them. Challenge it up, right? Either if you don't take it, you're probably not going to last here, because that group that is committed, you know, even if it, you know, how committed we are, if you're not on that boat or bus or you know whatever it is you're going to find yourself off. Right? Because you're not going to be committed. The leaders are going to say, hey, you know what? I think this isn't for us. You know, this relationship here isn't working, and we're going to have to go from there. And we haven't had where somebody hasn't accepted the challenge to change.
Sure.
So that would be interesting, you know, how that would flow. And
oh, that's great.
I think part of it is we've got to make sure that they're aware of themselves in terms of how much commitment they're willing to give. You know, people might think that, you know, I'm in it. I don't see myself as a distraction.
Right.
You know, you kind of are in some of the stuff, you know, so maybe the social life that you have, things like that. I'm not saying that you can't be social, but it could be hindrance to our team. And, you know, we also did mission setting first. We did vision setting first in terms of what our mission is for the next year. How are we going to get about how, you know, by a vision, what are we going to do to attack that mission on a daily basis? So it was already predetermined that, hey, this is where – every single one of you is saying you want to go.
Right.
So it doesn't lend that opportunity for them to say, hey, you know what, I'm going to be mad. I'm going to be mad at the world and my teammates. It's saying, hey, it opened my eyes up. I didn't really even realize it. And they then make that change and start from there.
No, that's great, man. Well, the big thing I want you to pull out from that is A, you not only did you – I mean, powerlifting is not out of the sport or anything, but you looked outside of the box to kind of find a tool – you used some multimedia with the TED Talks and things like that, and you kind of integrated yourself into those other 22 hours by showing up to their games and different things along those lines. And so, I mean, we've just got done spending, you know, 15 minutes talking about what it takes to get them even into the weight room and in the right mindset, and that's, you know, that's a lot of the battle, you know, that we fight on a daily basis. I would imagine, you know, you had a pretty – I mean, you rose pretty quick. You rose to being a head strength coach pretty quick, you know, and I can relate to that. You know, what I also know in that is that I made so many mistakes and still do because I didn't necessarily have those opportunities to go through the internships and the GAs and the assistant spots and the things to really kind of form some, you know, some skill sets to handle some situations. What's maybe one of the biggest mistakes that you've made in your career and how you learned from it?
Yeah, I think, you know, the biggest one that I can look back on and saying in terms of the whole entire aspects of sport performance, strength conditioning, was networking. I think I didn't network early enough in my career. And I think how that hindered me was, you know, from a knowledge base, you know, gaining that, those little things, you know, the things that you're not going to read in a book, you know, the experiences that, you know, only an experienced veteran may have. And so I didn't have those early on. And I think that drastically affected my coaching. And I was very, very X's and O's early. And so I didn't pull in, even whether it was a sport performance person or a head coach or anything. I didn't dive in early enough to learn from other coaching staff and so forth. You know, and here at Salisbury, you know, we've got 16 national championships, and you know, men's lacrosse has won 10, and you know, women's lacrosse has a couple, field hockey has a couple. They're some of the best coaches in the especially at the Division III level. I mean, men's lacrosse, he has got the most wins in college history across the board. And saying, hey, we've got some great coaches here. I didn't dive in early enough. It took me a few years before I really said, hey, you know what? I'm going to go sit and just sit in their office and talk to them.
Right.
Go out to practice on that aspect. But then also, again, networking at the, you know, strength and conditioning side is really developing that early, and, you know, getting into meeting people at conferences and just picking up the phone. I think that's another thing. It's, you know, one thing that I've found once I've started doing it is everybody's willing to just talk with you.
Right.
You know, last night I got off the phone with the strength coach of DC United, Adam. We talked to him for about a half an hour, and you know, just you know, about some key issues. And it's like, you know, just call back again if you've got a, you know, a question. It's like, great, that's awesome. You know, and I wish I would have done that early.
No doubt. Well, you know, in this field, I mean, it's one of those. The funny thing about it is pretty much if we were choosing our friends, we would choose other strength coaches. You know. But yet because of the job, it's such a lone wolf type of mentality that, it's hard to kind of break out of that. It takes a while. And I concur. I think that was tough for me early on too, but I was forced to do it just out of the sheer fact that I didn't have the knowledge base.
Yeah.
I needed to reach out because I needed to learn. But, what do you think, you know, I mean, obviously there's some unique challenges, Division III and all that, but I mean, out of strength program to strength program, what do you think makes Salisbury strength performance unique? What's something that you do that you think that maybe nobody else is doing, or something that you got a little bit different spin?
Yeah, one of the big things that we looked at here is our coaching and the role that our coaches play in making our program grow. The way that our coaches enhance the athletic experience in the weight room or wherever we're involved with them. And I think that was one thing that, you know, to me stands out in terms of what we do. And in terms of an internship program is we started to, you know, we took interns early. And part of the issues that we were expecting, you know, based off our location and you know, the newness to our program, a lot of our interns were in-house. And I don't know if we were, you know, optimizing, you know, getting the best out of what we were pulling in. And one thing that we started doing was we started looking for volunteers, volunteers in our program that were passionate about the field, you know, strength, conditioning, and lifting, just passionate about being in the weight room, passionate about coaching and wanting to help other people. And, I think that's one of the things that we adjusted, and we really went that round. Now I can develop these volunteers for a year and a half, and they can greatly impact our athletes even more. The interns, they're a semester and they're gone. And what was happening was it wasn't until the middle to end that they really started to come alive.
Right.
And then they were gone. And then we started back over, and I think the athletes saw that. You know, and you know, I was actually talking to one who is a senior right now, and back and talking about his freshman year, and he said, "Yeah, you know, I do remember that. I remember that they were just kind of hesitant, quiet early on, and so forth." And you know, we've moved away from that, and I think that's helped our athletes. They feel a lot more comfortable. They see a lot more continuity. You know, I'm technically not even full time. It's technically 25% of my job. I manage the rec center as well. Again, they're on opposite sides of campus. So I've got three graduate assistants that cycle in every 2 years.
Right.
So our continuity between our coaching staff is a struggle. And so we want to see if we can establish more continuity where they're seeing the same people on a year, 2 year basis, and then we start cycling through and bringing that new group in. And you know, I think it's helped on everything from a recruiting standpoint, where our guys are getting out. They're out and about. We've got Ed Smith at Lynchburg. We've got a couple Mary Beth and Pitt. They're growing. They're getting out of here. They're doing good things at their institutions, and becoming graduate assistants. Internships. You've got Matt out there with you right now.
Matt's doing a great job.
Hopefully he's doing a good job for you.
Yeah.
But the more that we can get them out, that gives the opportunity to bring better coaches in. Hopefully the athletes coming in see that, hey, these guys are getting out and they're getting to good places, that they've got to be doing something good there. That, especially at the Division III level, I've got seven CSCS on staff right now.
That's great.
At Division III level, now they're young, I'm still young myself in the field, but, they're young, but to be able to have somebody who has a good knowledge base, to be able to be there and really instruct them and dive in and go is great. So
absolutely.
I think that's the big thing for us.
I think it's great. And you become so much better of a coach when you teach people to be coaches.
I've noticed that.
That's what's really cool about it. Well, we always end the show here with some resources. Give us the best piece of coaching advice you ever received.
Ooh, best piece of coaching advice. Some of our coaches here, they'll just rattle it off on a daily basis. But I think one of the best ones that I had to do with just the effort that you're putting in. Continue to work, right? There's going to be times where you have, that are down, that you're in a struggle. Understand that it ebbs and flows, right? Continue to work, right? Things will be okay. Things will progress. They'll get better. You just have to stay consistent in what you're doing, stay consistent in the effort that you're putting in, and people will be things will come around. I think, one of our former basketball coaches, we lifted together and so forth. And, we talk on a daily basis, and, you do have those struggles in times. And I said, he was one of the, guys that really helped and influenced, some of the thought process that I have, that, just be consistent, continue to work, put the effort in. And you'll be amazed at what comes and what transpires out of that consistent quality effort that you're putting in.
I agree with you. You named Power of Habit earlier, which was a great book. Give us a book, app, and website recommendation.
All right, I'd say book starts with why. I think that's you've probably heard that a lot. I know I've heard it a couple of times. And starts with why is a great one. Understanding why you do what you do. Again, most people don't really understand that. I think that's one of the top books. Again, Power of Habit. There's a ton of them. I look on my bookshelf over here. There's a ton that are of quality. And we run a coach's book club here. And every month we have a new book, and we're in. And Power of Habit's actually coming up here. So I'm already in that one, but I love that one. App, a big one that I'm utilizing right now is MyFitnessPal and Lose It app. Working nutrition, it's part of the struggles that here that we have at a Division III, small school, is we don't have the supplement budgets, the nutrition, things along that line, and really trying to get the athletes to simplify their nutrition for them as easy as possible, because they're going to go home and they're going to make the meals and they're going to be involved with all that, and trying to figure out simple, easy ways for them to look at everything that they're taking in. You have your scan, your scanner, so you can see your food, you can type it in, and just kind of give them that idea of you know, a lot of times we see it, it has to do with their portion sizes, the consumption, not that they're consuming bad foods, but just so much that they don't realize. And we're just trying to, you know, help them track it and so forth. Website, man, you know, to be honest with you, Twitter has got to be one of the best things that I've, you know, utilized because it takes in everything. Yep. You know, it's not just one specific
site. Yeah, no doubt.
I love it, you know, and, you know, I don't tweet a lot out. I look more like just retweet things that everybody else is putting out there. But, you know, a tremendous amount of stuff that you'd be, you know, that people are just submitting, you know, just sending an article out there and so forth. And, I mean, I love that because it's a one-stop shop and there's so much right there at your, you know, and then what that does is you click on that one, then you go to that website and then you find 30 more articles that you want to look at, right. You know, and it really, you know, and you find so much more and stuff that, you know, that you may not have even seen had you been stuck to just a standard, you know, website like a lead or, you know, things like that.
I agree with you. It's a great aggregator. And the problem is you can go down wormholes fast, you know?
Yeah, very fast.
So my wife calls them for me, but well, man, hey, I appreciate you coming on the show, buddy. You know, and what you're doing, and Matt, you know, I mean, it takes, like I said, I think it takes a great person to put in their time and their effort into their craft, but then turn around and pass that on to others. I think it takes special people, and I know you've done that with Matt. He talks so highly of you, and got a chance to, you know, like I said, to hear you present a couple times, and just, you know, the things that you're doing up there on a high level from a production standpoint is fantastic. So, man, really appreciate you coming on the show and doing so much in this field, and thanks for sharing today, buddy.
Yeah, I appreciate it, man. It was an awesome opportunity. Thank you for the experience to be able to come on here on Iron Game Chalk Talk. I mean, I'm jazzed up now, but thank you.
Awesome.
That's it for this episode of Iron Game Chalk Talk. Thanks to this week's guest, as well as our sponsors, for bringing this episode to you for free. Make sure to check out ronmckeefrey.com, where you can join our mailing list, find the show notes, including all the links and resources mentioned, and information about Coach McKeefrey's other products. While you are there, please join Coach McKeefrey in the comments section thanking our guest for sharing. If you haven't subscribed to Iron Game Chalk Talk on YouTube or iTunes yet, make sure to do so. Comments, ratings, and reviews are always welcome. Coach McKeefrey can be found on Twitter at @rmckeefrey. On Facebook and YouTube at @ron.mckeefrey. That's it for this week. Be sure to check back next week for another great episode of Iron Game Chalk Talk.